Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:41 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is July 12th. And today, Janet Yellen was making some statements that really did help to ignite investor interest once more in the stock market and indeed in the bond markets. So we're continuing to see evidence that both the bonds and the stock market are moving in the same direction, which is not something that we see particularly often. Also, we saw that platinum, for example, was up $20, silver was up 14 cents, palladium was up $14, and gold was the laggard. It was only up 2. When we look at what exactly did she say, then it is just one little statement that made all the difference, and it was that the policy rate would not have to rise all that much further. And I think it is worth looking at. For example, the Fed's balance sheet. It's currently standing somewhere around the $4.4 trillion level. And she did reiterate that they do intend to begin to reduce the size of it this year. So that raises the question, if they're going to be reducing the size of the balance sheet, how on earth could they then continue to raise interest rates? And that's a big question. That's something that they seem to be rather cognizant of themselves, that they do seem to be intent on experimenting with the size of the balance sheet, but that also means that they're going to have to be cautioned, cautious at least, in raising interest rates. So when they say that they're going to be slow, the chances are that that's exactly what they mean. And that has been interpreted as rather dovish from the perspective of stock markets. So she obviously is going to be talking again on Thursday, so there's going to be an additional chance for some clarity on what her statements are going to be. And then we're going to have the CPI figures on Friday. So the big question then is, when are they going to begin to start shrinking the size of the balance sheet? Because that represents a potential threat. But if they only raise rates once more this year and then pause for a while after that, or whether they pause until next year, that would appear to be what the markets are pricing in right now. The shrinking of the balance sheet, though, is the key uncertainty. We know what happened with the ECB when they took $1 trillion out of circulation. It contributed to deflation. So, and inflation is not a problem right now in the US. It's still below trend, and wages are not accelerating higher. The labor force participation rate has been improving, and that additional flow of people into the workforce might be what is keeping the wage growth under control. Of course, it could also be because technology is has a deflationary effect, and one of the I think where the coal face is in terms of that deflationary effect right now is with Amazon, which had its best day ever with Prime Day this year, and also the effect that that's having on a whole swathe of retailers, whether it is the shopping malls themselves, whether it is big box retailers like Macy's, whether it is the retailers themselves like Under Armour, whether it is companies like even PepsiCo saying that the fact that people are no longer going to the mall means that they're not making those discretionary trips to the food court and then consuming their products. So that all represents an issue because there are millions of people employed in the retail sector, and if retail is in trouble, then that represents a potential source of additional workers that could be made unemployed. So I think a lot of what the Fed is doing is going to be very cautious indeed, because they just don't know the extent to which their actions are going to have an effect on the market. And that means that there is the potential that they really are going to be dovish about what exactly they're going to be doing. So the Nasdaq, for example, was up in a dynamic manner in here today. It gapped higher. It is now testing that 5,800 level. Now this is the region of that was a lower high back in June. It has posted a lower low at the beginning of this year. It is now testing those lower highs. Now, this is the do or die moment. It either pushes straight up and through that 5,800 level, and then we get the potential for a resumption of its uptrend, or it fails here. And there is the potential for some additional volatility when Yellen talks again tomorrow. But I think we would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the most recent dynamic, and certainly that gap higher is a pretty impressive move. The S&P 500 is back testing its highs. It was up 17 in here today, and it is coming close to that 2500 level. You can see that over the last year, and particularly since November, that reactions have been in the order of about 50 points, and on one occasion a little bit more than that, 75 points. And this reaction is so far about 50 points. So there is nothing inconsistent about it. But if it were to break on the upside, it would only have been a partial reversion to the mean, and it would represent that this is still a pretty steep advance. Europe has pulled back more than Wall Street over the last 6 weeks, and part of the reason for that is because of the strength of the euro. But for example, the banking sector remains really quite steady, but the And then that is because the ECB has made these rather hawkish tones. But for example, the Euro Stoxx 50 has pulled back by a couple of hundred points. It's the largest reaction that we've seen really since November, and it has succeeded in unwinding much of the overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and this is the first upper dynamic we've seen in a number of months. So that would suggest that this was nothing more than a reversion back towards the mean. It's done most of it, and that we're beginning to see the first evidence now of support starting to come back in. And that's the same story for something like the DAX, which has been the clear outperformer. It was up a shade less than 200 points in here today. And again, that is also the first upper dynamic that we've seen really since the end of April. And the FTSE 100, it wasn't quite able to hold all of the advance, but it was up in a dynamic manner. And again, this is certainly the beginning of evidence that we're starting to see support coming in after what has been a relatively orderly pullback. So this was a generally benign environment for the majority of developed markets. When we cast our net a little wider, then the fact that the dollar has not been strong, well, that is contributing to the strength of other currencies. The Australian market, for example, it continues to pause here in the region of the trend mean, and quite what happens with the Australian dollar, and indeed the commodity complex, the banking complex, is going to really have a play an important role in that. The Australian dollar has bounced rather well over the last few days and is pushing back up towards the upper side of its range. It has held just a broad upward bias this year, and it has been ranging for 18 months already. A sustained move to new recovery highs would suggest that this is a base formation, and that we're turning back to a position of demand dominance beyond the short term. So I think the Australian dollar is one to watch, but if the Aussie dollar is going up, that is likely to act as a headwind for the stock market. The Canadian dollar was also firm today because the Bank of Canada raised interest rates, and that contributed to its renewed strength. It's been strengthening up pretty impressively over the last couple of months, and I think perhaps more important than that is that the Canadian dollar had accelerated lower at the beginning of 2016. Then it spent much of the remainder of 2016 and a good part of the first third of this year ranging with a downward bias, and now it is reasserting. So this really does look like the Canadian dollar is beginning to firm up here against the US dollar, and this represents a massive reaction against the dollar's prevailing uptrend. Nevertheless, the Canadian dollar is a bit overbought in the short term, or on this chart, the US dollar is oversold. But now, a sustained move back above the trend mean would be required to question loonie dominance at this stage. If we then look at Japan, the yen was a bit firmer today against the US dollar. The Nikkei is continuing to hover here around this 20,000 level. The fact that the dollar has not been able to capitalize on its performance and is now falling back from that 115 area. This is the key question. To what extent is it going to be able to hold the advance so far? When we look at that on the weekly chart, it is a rather large question. The dollar has not been able to sustain rallies this year, and this is now testing that most recent progression of lower rally highs. So the extent to which it can hold on to the most of those gains during an unwinding of the very, very short term overbought condition will give us a lot of intelligence as to just what's likely to happen next. And I think there's an increasing amount of news flow about China, but I don't think that the stock market is going to give us any particular idea of what's going on there, other than the fact that it is completely inert and that that is largely engineered by the party. There is the whole story still going on about what's likely to happen with North Korea, and perhaps the most likely scenario is that it is just going to sustain the status quo. Then you have what's happening with Liu Xiaobo, which is the Nobel laureate who is dying of cancer and has been denied a great deal of access to doctors. So there is that is making international headlines. But all of that is a sideshow compared to the political upheaval that is due to really climax in September and October, because there are so many people in the Politburo and on the much narrower standing committee that are retiring, and there is a really quite considerable competition going on within the Communist Party to find out and to ensure that Xi has control of those bodies once all the nominees come through. And that suggests that we are going to remain in a rather inert environment, probably on the domestic stock market, and the last thing they want is volatility in the currency markets, and that is why we're seeing greater interest in supporting the currency. This is looking increasingly likely that the period, which was almost 3 years in duration, of the renminbi strengthening, excuse me, weakening, is over, and that there is substantial improvement in the technical pattern for the renminbi right now, that it has bounced rather emphatically. It is strengthening again from the region of the trend mean. Now, that's not so much a story of dollar weakness, but rather that the Chinese are supporting their currency, and that's rather positive for the stock market. It's also positive from the perspective of the stability of the financial system, which is exactly what the Communist Party is going to want to ensure ahead of that September or October. They haven't exactly announced the date yet of the party conference. I find it rather interesting that Bitcoin prices have pretty much stopped going up, and since the middle of June, when we saw that the Chinese were really moving to support their currency. The Bitcoin price has benefited enormously from Chinese moving their money offshore, and the fact that the renminbi is now strengthening rather than weakening will have sapped some of the flows from Bitcoin, and this is a much more volatile, choppy, rangy environment than we've seen for a number of months. It would suggest that this is at least a medium-term correction in the Bitcoin price. Gold prices are still hovering here around this 1200 level. There is still a progression of lower rally highs that's been there for the last 6 weeks, and it really does need to break that to confirm that demand is returning to dominance in here. Platinum prices have bounced from the $900 area, and I still have my long position in that, and it was rolled over last week into the September contract, but it is looking likely now that we might get an additional bounce, at least back up towards the trend mean. And silver prices, following the flash crash on Friday, have continued to bounce. I opened a long in that last night, and it's now testing the $16 area. That's the first area of potential resistance. And if it can sustain a move above 16, then the potential is that it will get back up towards the region of the trend mean. If we look at it on the weekly basis, silver has been going sideways since the end of 2014, and it has bounced from that $15 area on a number of occasions. And now there is the prospect that we are at the dawn of a short covering rally, but it will have to at least clear the $16 area to confirm that that is underway. When we look at the oil price, and despite the fact that it reads like it was up 17 cents in here today. In fact, it was well below its opening price. This remains a very volatile environment, and I think rather difficult to make money. That there is a great deal of additional supply becomes economic above the $55 area. There was a lot of hedges put on, and we are now at a rather critical juncture, because having come back to $45 and rallying to 50, the question is now whether this is a higher reaction low that we saw on Monday. If it is, then Monday's low will hold. If not, then that would suggest that we are going to take out the 45 area and potentially go back down towards the $40 area. That would, I think, represent really quite a headwind for some of the major oil companies, not least because they have got such enormous heft that they probably don't have the same quantity of hedges on as some of the smaller operators, particularly in the mid-cap sector. Royal Dutch Shell is right at the region of its most recent low. It's hovering here above that psychological 2000 level, and it was in mildly positive territory in here today, but it really will have to hold those lows if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to some additional higher to lateral ranging. With the prospect of a somewhat more dovish central bank in the US, then the prospects for global economic growth to get less of a headwind from monetary policy remains pretty much intact. Silver prices are testing this $2.70 area. We may see some additional consolidation around this area, but the most important thing is that it has bounced from the 250 area, and that this continues to represent a first step above the Type 2 base. A move below 250 would really be required to question that hypothesis. And it isn't really just the copper price, but rather that we're also getting the zinc price has bounced really rather emphatically from that $2,500 area. And at the outset of this recording, I mentioned bond prices, and this is the first sign that we are seeing a return to demand dominance following what was a pretty I guess concerted downward move over the last 10 sessions. So when we look at that on the weekly basis, we've seen that resistance was encountered in the region of the trend mean, and now we're seeing that just the first evidence of some respite. But this remains a choppy environment. That the more important point is that it did fail to sustain the move above 155, and it pulled back in a more dynamic manner than it broke out. So even if it were to rally additionally, it's going to have to sustain a move above 155 to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. This is a war going on between supply and demand in the bond markets, where there are really reasonable, almost pretty rational arguments about whether we're in a broadly deflationary environment, or whether inflation is beginning to get the upper hand. And there is a lot at stake. The bond markets are really quite substantially below where they were. The yield around 2.4% on the 10-year is reasonable relative to where we've seen the lows over the last few years. And it is an awfully big question whether it can, for example, the 30-year, having pulled back from a high around 177 this time last year to the current price around 152, whether it is going to be able to sustain a move back above that trend mean. That's an awfully big question when prices have been broadly going up for what feels like an awfully long time. And I think that the most likely scenario is that we're going to get some additional ranging. that we're probably not yet at the point where the potential for additional supply reaching the market is going to overwhelm demand. Considering just how large central bank balance sheets are, when the eventual shrinking of them begins, that's likely to be a substantial catalyst for volatility. But it might not happen for another few months, and that would suggest that we're going to have a pretty inert environment in between. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.